Yeah.
Okay, mess. Okay, fine. Okay, so welcome back to everybody. Shalom aleichem to the old people returning, and shalom aleichem to everyone here who's new. Well, good to see everybody here on Zoom. Fine. So this for this season, for the next few months, we're gonna be learning a certain aspect of Hilchos Shabbos. I'm not sure yet how long it's gonna take us, but let me just spend a few moments introducing the limud for this man. When you want to learn Hilchos Shabbos properly, there are two major undertakings that you need to do. The first major undertaking, and in either order, but one major undertaking is to just learn through the Lam Tes Melachos. There are a lot of melachos out there with a lot of details, so that's obviously one big task that needs to be accomplished. And that's what we did for 2 years. Baruch Hashem, for the last 2 years, we spent 2 years going through just about all the practical melachos. Now, there's a second unrelated undertaking, which is just to go through all the kolim of Melech HaShabbos. There are a lot of different principles that modify and govern when the Isra Melacha applies, and it's impossible to know any Halacha L'maisa without knowing the principles. So that's what we're going to be doing now for the next few months, working on the kolim of Melech HaShabbos. Okay, now, before we begin, I just want to say over a story. A few weeks ago, I was speaking to one of the Bachrim, and he reminded me of a term that I hadn't heard in decades. But once he told this to me, it rang a bell. It's the term audible. An audible is a football term, apparently, where you line up on the offense, and based on seeing how the defense sets up, you decide to a last second switch because you're not going to be successful. So you call an audible and you change your play last second. So now that am I right? Yeah, right? I think I'm right. So now that I know this term, it's in my girsa. So last night I had to pull a major audible. For a few weeks I had planned to jump right into the first principle of Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, which is going to be the first topic we discuss. But late last night I had the epiphany after having had weeks to think about this, but I realized that it's kedai to first spend some time doing a more introductory topic and to lighten the load a little bit. Now, the Mar Makomos are not Levatala. We're still going to use half the Mar Makomos. Just about everything tonight is going to have been on the Mar Makomos, including the extra credit section, but the focus is going to be a little bit off. So that's the move that we're making here. Fine. So let's start from the beginning. We begin with a Mishnah in Chagiga on Daf Yud Amid Aleph. The Mishnah in Chagiga there tells us that the halachas of Shabbos are like mountains hanging on a hair, meaning to say that there are mountains and mountains of information, but it's hanging on a hair, derivationally speaking. It's not written explicitly in the Torah. You just have some allusions, and from these brief allusions, we develop mountains of halachas. That's the Mishnah there in Chagiga. Comes along the Gemara, and the Gemara asks there in Chagiga, what do you mean Hilchos Shabbos is only alluded to with a hair's worth of information? Mechtav Ksivi, it's written explicitly in the Torah. Relative to other areas of halacha, it's treated pretty extensively. Many times we have psukim of Shmir Shabbos in the Torah. So what do you mean that we have mountains of halachas based on some slight allusions? It's written explicitly in the Torah. So the Gemara answers that the Mishnah was referring to a certain aspect of Hilchos Shabbos, and that is the principle of Melaches Machshavos. Melaches Machshavos, let's start from the beginning. Rashi there in Chagig explains, begins with the Parsha of the Mishkan. In describing the construction of the Mishkan, when it's describing all the activities that were needed to build the Mishkan, the Torah refers to those acts as Melaches Machshavos, which Unkelus translates as Ividus Umanvan, professional activities. They needed to do craftsmanlike professional acts in the Mishkan. They did weaving, metalwork, embroidery, a whole series of craftsmanlike activities to construct the Mishkan, which are called Melaches Machshavos. And so since we know that the Parsha of Shabbos is juxtaposed to the Parsha of the Mishkan, this teaches us that by Shabbos as well, if you want to be chayiv on Shabbos, when you do malacha, it needs to be done in a manner of malachas nachshavos, in a professional, craftsman-like manner. That's the aspect of halacha that's only a slight allusion, a juxtaposition of two words in the Torah. And we're going to learn mountains and mountains of halachos from this reference of malachas nachshavos. We're going to see over the upcoming weeks that this general overarching modifier that you must perform the melachos in a productive, in a professional, craftsmanlike manner is going to flow into a series of sub-qualifications to the Isra Melacha. So that's where we're going to start next week. Next week, Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to begin, you know, our first major topic, which will be Malacha Shein Tzrich LeGufa. And we're going to see that most of the principles, or many of them, are going to source back to this general overarching principle of Malachas Makshev. It needs to be done in a professional manner. Fine. But for today, I decided that I think it's a good idea just to spend one Chabura discussing a very fundamental issue that the Achronim discuss in terms of the nature of this principle of Malachas Makshavis. So that's going to be the topic for today. The Achronim pose a very simplistic Chakira as to how to look at the nature of this principle of Malachas Makshavis, and it's going to have some very interesting and even contemporary applications. So let's go through the Chakira, and then we're going to see how it plays out in various situations. The Shaila they want to know is as follows. Now that we've been taught this new principle that when you do the Lam Tes Malachos, you need to do it in a professional manner in order to be Chayiv, the Achronim want to know, how integral is this principle, this need for professionalism, how integral is it to the notion of Malacha on Shabbos? What role does Malachas Makshavis play in creating this Isra Malacha on Shabbos? So the two basic possibilities that could be posed. One possibility is to understand that maybe this new principle of Malachas Makshavis goes into the definition of what it means to be a Malacha. We know we have our 39 Ovis Malachos, Borer, Bishel, Tochen. Maybe Malachas Makshavis goes into the very definition of what it means to be a Malacha. The Lam Tes Malachos are really Borer in a professional way, Bishel in a professional way, Tochen in a professional way. It defines what it means to be a Malacha. If you do a Malacha in a manner that's lacking in professionalism, lacking in Malachas Makshavis, it's not called a Malacha. It's as if you did nothing at all. You don't need to do tshuva. It's absolutely zero. That's one possibility that one could suggest. There's a second possibility that Achronim pose, and that is to understand that maybe the principle of Malachas Makshavis is not so fundamental. Maybe it's what we call a tznai. It's an external condition that you need for full-fledged chiyah. That really, even if you don't have Malachas Makshavis, it's still called a Malacha. Whether you do Borer or Bishel, it's a Maisa Malacha. You did a Malacha in Shabbos, and you're probably going to need tshuva on Yom Kippur. You did a Malacha, even if it's lacking in this professional quality of Malachas Makshavis. It's just that there's a tznai. We learn that from this Gzeres HaKosov, a tznai, that for full-fledged obligation, to have all the repercussions, the serious repercussions of Hilchas Shabbos, the Chi of Skila, the need to bring a Korban, that is only going to be triggered if you have this professional aspect of Malachas Makshavis. But even if you're lacking in Malachas Makshavis, it's still what we call a Shem Malacha. So that's the basic Chakira. How do we look at the role of Malachas Makshavis? It's going to the very definition of Malacha. If you're lacking in Malachas Makshavis, doesn't have a Shem Malacha, you did zero. Or perhaps it's an external condition for full-fledged accountability, but even if without Malachas Makshavis, you still did a Maisa Malacha, you're still going to be, you know, need to have Kapar and do Tshuva on Yom Kippur. So that's the Chakira. So we're going to discuss two interesting nafkaminas in this Chakira. The first nafkamina is considered to be a classic application. The second one is going to be more of a very interesting contemporary issue that comes up. So let's start with nafkamina number one. The first nafkamina brings us to the sugya and Bava Kama on Lamed Aleph and Beis to Lamed Hey Amid Aleph. Now, we're not going to do the exact Gemara inside just because it's a little bit too complicated for a kickoff shir. But we're going to hover above the Gemara, and there's a very, what's considered to be a famous Machlokas Rashi and Tosas there, which we're going to do an analysis on. But before we get to the Machlokas Rashi and Tosas, let's just give a quick point of background information. As many of us know, there's a principle of Kimlei Bidarabi Minei, that the rule is if you perform two activities in conjunction with each other, one of them being an act that generates a Chi of Misa, it's a capital offense, and the second act generates a Chi of Mamon, so we say, Kimla bidarabi minei, we exempt you from the Chi of Mamon, we subject you to the Chi of Misa. The classic case that comes up there in Bava Kama is where a person sends out a fire, and the fire has two impacts. One effect is it kills somebody, thereby representing a Maiser Tzicha, that's a capital offense for killing somebody, and in its course of traveling, the fire also damages somebody's field. So that's a Maiser Hezek, which generates a Chi of Mamon. So we have one event, we have these two acts in this one event being done in conjunction with each other. We have a Maiser Tzicha, you killed somebody with this fire, that's a capital offense. We have a Maiser Hezek, you damaged somebody with this fire, damaged his property with this fire, that generates a Chi of Mamon. And the rule is Kimlei B'derabi Minei, we exempt you from the Chi of Mamon, and we apply to you the Chi of Misa. Now, the Gemara there brings a very important expansion of the principle of Kimlei, which is our last detail before we get to the Machlokas Rashi Tosos. And that is the expansion, what's called the Tana Devei Chizkiya. Tana Devei Chizkiya teach us that we even apply this principle of Kimlei in a situation where a person's not actually going to be subject to a Chiyav Misa. But let's say you do that capital offense in a way where you're lacking some technical detail, and so you're not going to be subject to a Chiyav Misa. Nonetheless, we still exempt you from the Chiyav Mamon based on the principle of Kimlei. And so, for example, in the case where you send out the fire and it kills the slave, kills a person, and it also damages the field. Let's say in that situation, the person wasn't given a warning. He didn't get Hasra. So we know that if you don't get Hasra in Halacha, you can't be subject to a Chiyav Misa. Nonetheless, Tana Devei Chizkiya teach us that despite the fact that he won't actually practically get the Chiyav Misa because he wasn't given a warning, we still apply the principle of Kimlei. So that's just the background information, the famous principle of Kimlei, and the expansion of the Tana Devei Chizkiya. Even if you're not going to get the Chiyav Misa, since in principle it's an activity that comes to the Chiyav Misa, so we're going to pater you from the Chiyav Mamon. So with that background, the following issue comes up in the Gemara, and we've shown him there in Bava Kamma. The case is like this. Let's say a person sends out a fire on Shabbos, and this fire on Shabbos burns down somebody else's field. So we now have two activities occurring in conjunction with each other. One activity is a Maisa Hezek. You're doing an act of damaging somebody else's property. That generates a Chiyav Mamon. And the second activity that's occurring in conjunction with the first act is an act of Chilul Shabbos. Sending out a fire on Shabbos is one of the Lametes Malachos, the Malacha of Mavir. And that's an act of Chilul Shabbos. So we have these two activities done in conjunction with each other. We have a Chiyav Mamon for causing the damage. We have a, you know, a Chiyav Misa, so to speak, for the act of Chilul Shabbos for sending out the fire. And so the question is, should we apply the principle of Kimlei? And the caveat, the issue at hand is as follows. In this situation, when you send out the fire on Shabbos, this act of Malachas Mavir is going to be lacking in Malachas Mav Shabbos, because this is a destructive activity, which is called mikalkel. One of the sub-qualifications to the Isra Malacha that flows from Malachas Mav Shabbos is the requirement to do the Malachas in a manner of tikkun, that they have to be done in a productive manner. If you do a Malacha in a destructive manner, you are going to be potter. You're going to be lacking in Malachas Mav Shabbos. It's not a professional act, and it's going to be potter. Well, in this case, when you sent out that fire on Shabbos, since this fire is just causing physical damage, that's a destructive activity. And so this performance of Chilul Shabbos is lacking in Malachas Mav Shabbos. And so the question becomes, can we apply the principle of Kimlei? Can we say that since this act of Malachas Shabbos is done in conjunction with causing damage, so let's exempt you from the Chiyav Mamon based on the principle of Kimlei? Or perhaps no, since we're lacking in Malachas Mav Shabbos, this is an act of Mikalkel, so maybe it's not going to have the ability to pater you from the Chiyav Mamon. That's the question that comes up. So this is a famous machlokes in Rashi versus Tosfos there in Bava Kamma. Starting with the Shita of Rashi, Rashi says that we're going to apply Kimlei in this situation. We're going to exempt you from the Chiyav Mamon. Because it is true that the Malach of Mavir is lacking in Malachas Mav Shabbos. It's done in a destructive manner. But we have the Tana Devei Chizkiya. Tana Devei Chizkiya teach us that even if you're not practically going to get the Chiyav Misa, since in principle you didn't act that come to the Chiyav Misa under the appropriate circumstances, so we can still apply the principle of Kimlei, you'll be pater for causing the damage. So that is Shitas Rashi, that we do apply Kimlei when a Malacha and Shabbos is done in a manner that's lacking in Malachas Mav Shabbos. Comes along Tosfos there, and Tosfos asks in Rashi, and he says, that's not correct. In this situation, we would not apply the principle of Kimlei, because Malachas Mav Shabbos is such a severe deficiency that we're not able to apply the principle of Kimlei. Even the principle of Tana Devei Chizkiya is not applicable. We're not going to exempt you from the Chiyav Mamon. So we have now Machlokas Rashi versus Tosfos. Do we apply Kimlei when a person does a Malacha in a manner that's destructive, lacking Malachas Mav Shabbos, and that Chilul Shabbos is done in conjunction with the Chiyav Mamon? Can we exempt you from the Chiyav Mamon based on Kimlei? Rashi says that we can. Tosfos says that we cannot. And the question becomes, what's the Hesber in this Machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for the Shita of Rashi? What's the conceptual basis for the Shita of Tosfos? Yeah. Basically, but let's elaborate. So I think Ben was mechavin based more or less to the Rav Moshe Feinstein. The Dibros Moshe on Bava Kamma plugs in our Chakira that we started out with. It's really just a layup. We're just plugging the Chakira in here. to this machlokas, and he says that's going to be the hesber in this machlokas. So let's go back to our chakira on Malachas Machshavas, and let's plug it into this shaila. Starting with the first sad in the chakira, we ask the question, how integral is this principle of Malachas Machshavas to the definition, to the concept of Malachan Shabbos? The first possibility was to say that maybe it goes into the very definition of Malacha, that Malacha is Bober with professionalism, Bishul with professionalism. If you're lacking Malacha and Machshavas, it doesn't have the status of a Malacha. If it doesn't have the status of Malacha, so in that situation, says Ramosha, we can't apply the principle of Kimlin. Even with the Tana of Echizkiah, you need to do something that in principle is an act that is associated with the Chi of Misa, just as lacking in external conditions. Then we can apply Tana of Echizkiah. If you kill somebody, you don't get Hasra, it's still a Maisa Aveira. The person still needs Tshuva Yom Kippur. It's just we don't have the conditions, you don't have Hasra, we can't give him a Chi of Misa. In that situation, we can apply the Tana of Echizkiah. But if you do a malacha on Shabbos in a way that's lacking such a fundamental aspect that it's not even called the malacha, it's called the zero, so then we can't apply the Tana of Echizkiah. We cannot exempt you from the Chi of Mammon. Are we going to say on Shabbos, or are we going to say, let's say, during a regular day, if you punch somebody, so you cause damage, and you also wound him, we should exempt you from the Chi of Mammon? Listen, when I punch him, it's kind of like killing him. You know, just if you punched him a little bit harder, I would have killed him. We don't say such a thing. You didn't do a Maisa Aveir. That's not a Maisa. It's not an activity that comes with the Chi of Misa. So in this situation as well, although it looks like an act of Chil Shabbos, you do have a big ingredient. You lit a fire. But since you're lacking this fundamental requirement of Malachas Machshavas, it's not called a Malacha. And so we cannot apply the Tana of Echizkiah. That would be the Shita of Tosfos. So that's how Ramosha explains Tosfos Shita. The Malachas Machshavas is not called a Malacha. When you're lacking Malachas Machshavas, we can't apply Kimla. Moving over to the second time in the Chakira, if we say that really Malachas Machshavas doesn't go into the definition of a Malacha, even without Malachas Machshavas, you did a Shem Malacha, you did a Maisa Aveira, it's just that you're lacking conditions for full-fledged Chiyav. You can't get a death sentence, you don't have to bring a Karban, but it is a Maisa Aveira. So that's exactly where we apply the Tanda Vechizkiah. When you do an activity, then principle is Chayiv Misa, just you're lacking in certain conditions, so then we'll exempt you from the Chiyav Mammon, even though you're not technically getting the Chiyav Misa. So this is all Nafkamina number one in our Chakira. How integral is Malachas Machshavas to the notion of Malacha? First Nafkamina being, would we apply Kimlai in this situation where you're doing a Malacha on Shabbos in a manner that's lacking in Malachas Machshavas? We're good? Yeah. Yeah, the second side of the Chakira, Eitan asked me to repeat the second side. The second side of the Chakira is that when you do a Malacha on Shabbos, you do Bora or Bishul, but it's done in a manner of Makalkil. It's lacking in this professionalism. It's still called the Malacha. You did a Maisa Aveira, you need Tshuva Yom Kippur. It's just that since you're lacking an extra layer of gusto, so you're not going to have to bring a Karban, you don't need to have a Chiyav Misa, but you still did something wrong. It's still a Maisa Aveira. So in that situation, we can apply Kimlai, just like if you kill somebody, but don't get Hasra, so we exempt you from the Chiyav Mammon, even though you're not practically going to get the Chiyav Misa. So through here, when you did a Malacha and Shabbos, just you're lacking this extra condition for Chiyav, but it's still a Maisa Aveira, you still need Kapara, we can still apply the Tana of Echizkiah and exempt you from the Chi of Mammon. Yeah, Ben. Ben is asking, would someone have to do tshuva for doing Mappas Murus on Shabbos, which is a case that's lacking in Malachas Machshavas? The answer is, if you do it in the case where it's prohibited, it would be Aser. If it's Mutter, it's Mutter. There are different cases there. We'll have to knock this out. Okay.
Let's say for Shabbos Chavit or all these other Makakal or anything else. So when
so we're gonna get there. Eitan is emphasizing something that we're gonna get to, Mitzvah. So you're making a very good point, but we're gonna elaborate. Fine. Now, you know, when you bring up issues of Kimlei, but the Rabbi Mina, you think that we're not discussing Halacha Lemaisa. But I just want to point out a practical example, this first nafkamina, which is going to take us out of the realm of Nashim Zikin a little bit and, you know, enter Hilcha Shabbos. It's really going to be more Nashim Zikin, but it's a practical discussion. And that is like this. Let's take the following scenario. Let's say a person is walking on Shabbos past a table and his friend's laptop is on the table and he knocks the laptop off the table, hits the ground, smashes to smithereens. So the question is Reuven, we'll call him Reuven, the guy, the mazik in the situation, is Reuven going to be chayiv? So at first glance, of course he's chayiv. He just destroyed his friend's $1,000 laptop. Black Friday is not for a few, you know, weeks. It'll go down to 800 or whatever. But for now, it's $1,000. So Lahari is chayiv. But after tonight's sugya, we realized that it's actually not so pashut, because this activity took place on Shabbos. So now when Reuven knocked off that laptop off the table, aside from the Maisa Hezek of destroying the laptop, he also very well probably did one of the Lamates Malachos, namely the Malacha of Soser. Soser is a Malacha of demolishing. If you destroy something on Shabbos, that's Malacha Soser. And we paskin, Malacha Soser is not limited to destroying a building. Malacha Soser also applies to objects. We say, Yesh binyan v'stira v'kelem. If you destroy an object, that is subject to Malacha Soser. So we have now a situation where you're on Shabbos, it was all done by accident. You could be any object. You knock your friend's object off the table, you destroyed it. So we have two acts occurring in conjunction with each other. We have a Maisa Hezek of damage, which holds you accountable. We have a Maisa of Chilul Shabbos. You did the Malacha of Soser. But this Malacha of Soser is going to be lacking in Malachas Machshavos. This is a destructive activity. This is not a productive act of Malacha Soser. This is a destructive act of Malacha Soser. So what's the halacha in this situation? Is Reuven chayev? Is Reuven pater? So he certainly is recommended to pay back if you want to have a friend. But in terms of Hilchas Choshen Mishpah, can a basin force Reuven to pay? Depends on Rashi versus Tosfos. According to the Shita of Rashi, we apply Kimle in this situation. Even though this Malach is lacking in Malachas Machshavos, we apply Kimle, and Reuven cannot be forced to pay Shimon. He is totally pater from paying Shimon. Whereas if you go with the Shita of Tosfos, so we do not apply Kimla in this situation, and Reuven is going to be chayiv. So I'm just pointing out how what seems to be a far off, you know, morning Seder discussion actually is technically halacha l'maisa. In a typical case, you damage something on Shabbos, it could technically be potter based on this whole cheshbon, or be totally on this first nafka minute. Yeah, Ben. Yeah, I'm talking halacha l'maisa. Yeah, in Rashi himself, maybe not, but that's fine. Good. Okay. Kedarka with Kodesh, Ben asked the Kishmak Kasha, but okay. I'm not going to repeat it because it's, no, whatever. Fine. Let's go to Nafkamina number two. The second Nafkamina is as follows. There's an interesting contemporary issue that comes up that's going to be totally on our Chakir here. Let's say you have a community that has an Erev that's up. And let's say it's up at the beginning of Shabbos, and sometime into Shabbos, the Erev goes down. And the heads of the community find out that the Erev is down. Shaila is, should they publicize this to the community? Should they make an announcement, a clap and shul, the Erev is down? Or perhaps, should they not publicize it? Why wouldn't they publicize the fact that the Erev is down? So the following argument could be constructed. There's a principle of misasek. Misasek is where a person does an avera in a manner that's lacking in cognition. So the classic case that comes up in the Gemara is like this, where let's say it's Shabbos, and there's a vegetable that's on the ground that you think is not attached to the ground. So it should be perfectly permissible to pick it up, and you go for it, you pick it up, but it actually was attached to the ground, and you detached it from the ground. That's the malacha of kotzer. You detach something from the ground, so that's malacha's kotzer. So we have a situation where a person did the malacha of kotzer on Shabbos, but it was lacking in cognition. He didn't realize what he was doing. He thought the metzias was one way. The metzias is really a different way. So this is what's called misasek. Now, what is the halacha when a person does misasek and called derkula on Shabbos? What's the halachic perspective? If you do an avera, you're lacking in cognition. So what's the halachic perspective on such an avera? This is a big shaila in the poskim, but we're going to focus on the shita of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the shailas and shuvas and Simon Ches is of the opinion that in kol derkula, in all other areas of halacha, aside from halacha Shabbos, misasik is a maisa avera. It's an infraction. It's considered to be an avera. It's just, since it was lacking in cognition, so it's a very diluted form of avera. The person's not going to get a punishment. He doesn't need to bring a karban. It's a misasik. But nonetheless, it is still a maisa avera, so the person needs tshuva. That's in kol terakula. But says Rabbi Akiva Eiger that on Shabbos, it's going to be different. On Shabbos, if you do a mulacha on Shabbos b'misasik, you're doing it without cognition, you don't realize what you're doing, that is not a Maisa Avera. And Shabbos, it's perfectly permissible, so to speak. It's not a Maisa Avera because of the principle of Malachas Mach Shabbos. Malachas Mach Shabbos teaches us that when you do the Lam Test Malachos, it needs to be done in a professional way. If you do it in a manner that's lacking in cognition, that is certainly a very uncraftsmanlike activity. And so therefore, it is not a ma'isa malacha bichlal, and it is perfectly permissible, so to speak. So that is the famous shita of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So based on the shita of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the following argument could be constructed. Maybe we should say as follows, that when the Erev goes down, since the whole community thinks that the Erev is up, even though they're going to be carrying on Shabbos in a Carmelis, which would be also the Rabbanan, but it doesn't really matter because they think the Erev is up. So this is a malacha done b'mizasek. They're doing a malacha without cognition. They don't know the Erev is down. They think it's up. They think they're doing a perfectly permissible act. Happens to be the Erev is really down. They're doing an Avera. But since they're lacking in cognition, based on their Akiva Eiger, this is not a ma'isa malacha, and this should be perfectly permissible. There should be no need to tell the Kehila that the Erev went down. And this is the shita of Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim was quoted as holding this way that you should not announce the Erev is down. And Reb Shlomo Zalman also. Reb Shlomo Zalman paskins that you should not announce that the Erev is down because of this cheshbin that is misasek. And he throws in that if you do announce it, so it's very well, you'll have people that are not going to listen. They're going to be stuck somewhere and they're just going to, like, you know, when you open the fridge and lights on, you kind of close it by accident. So they're going to, you know, have to get home with their child. So they're not going to listen. So therefore, it's better not to make the announcement. And it'll all be misasik. It's all perfectly permissible. That's the shita of Shlomo Zalman and the shita of Reb Chaim. Now, there are two counter arguments that could be made against this argument that we shouldn't publicize the fact that the Erev is down. The first counter argument is made by the Afikayam. The Afikayam is not discussing Hilchas Erevin, but he's discussing Reb Akiva Eiger. And he raises an issue with Reb Akiva Eiger, which would unravel this whole heter. Says the Afikayam as follows, that what was Reb Akiva Eiger saying? That on Shabbos, when you do an activity that's lacking in cognition, that's a misasik on Shabbos, that's not considered to be a ma'isa avera. It's a total zero, because it's lacking in malachas machshavas. Since it's not a professional act, it's a total zero. And therefore, that was the whole basis for this whole air of heter, that they're doing nothing wrong anyways. What's the point of informing? Says the Afikayam, that's not so pasha. That's totally on our chakira. How do you look at the nature of malachas machshavas? If you go with the first side in the chakira, the malachas machshavas is integral to the definition of malacha. That when you don't have malachas machshavas, it doesn't have a shem malacha. So then you're correct. Then it's not a ma'isa avera. You're doing nothing wrong. There's no point of announcing the erev. But says the Afikayam, there's a second side in our chakira. Maybe malachas machshavas is just a t'nai. Maybe it's just a condition for full repercussions of Hilchas Shabbos. But even when you're lacking in Malachas Machshavas, you still did a Maisa Malacha, you still did a Vera, you still did something wrong. And he points to our previous Nafkamina. We just made a whole Machlokas Rashi versus Tosfos. We had a whole Shitas Rashi that it is a Maisa Vera. Rashi applied a Kimlai in this situation. So if Hikayam, he's not questioning, he's not discussing Hilchas Erevin, he's just questioning Rikav Eger, saying it's not so poshit that it's not a Maisa Vera when you do an act of a Misase. And this is how the Onig Yontav Paskins, the Onig Yontav Paskins against Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that a malacha done in a manner of misasik is a ma'isa aver, you're doing something wrong. So this is all one counter argument against the Erev discussion. If you hold that really, not like Rabbi Akiva Eiger, if you hold that there is a ma'isa aver, when a person does misasik on Shabbos, it's true it's lacking in malachas machshavas, but it's still doing something wrong, it's still a ma'isa aver, then you can't let the whole community carry thinking that the Erev is up. They're all doing an Avera. Everyone's doing a very diluted Avera of carrying on Shabbos, and we would have an obligation to announce to the whole community to save them from this prohibition. So that's all one counter argument against Reb Chaim and Reb Shlomo Zalman. If we work with this Reb Akiva Eiger, but we argue, meaning if we argue this Reb Akiva Eiger based on the Afikayam and the Onig Yontav, so that would disallow making this announcement, this would require us to make this announcement that the Erev is down. Fine. There's a second counter argument against the heter of Shlomo Zalman and Reb Chaim, and this is emphasized by the Orech HaShabbos. The Orech HaShabbos says that there's another flaw in the whole heter of Shlomo Zalman and Reb Chaim Brisker. And that is that even though Reb Akiva Eiger said, and this gets into Eitan's point, even though Reb Akiva Eiger had said that when you're doing a malacha that's lacking in cognition, that's lacking in malachas machshavas, it's not a ma'isa avera. And so you're doing something wrong. You're not doing anything wrong. Maybe that's only on a deraisa level. On a deraisa level, when you do something that's lacking in this professional malachas machshavas, then it's not a ma'isa avera. But midrabanan, typically speaking, we do aser activities that are lacking in malachas machshavas. If you want to walk over to something and destroy it on Shabbos and do a malacha that's done in a manner of kilkul, that's aser midrabanan. You can't do a malacha on Shabbos in a manner that's lacking in malachas machshavas. Typically speaking, it's still asr midrabanan. So it's true, on a deraisa level, kimle and all this lumdis is not a maisa avera. But midrabanan says the Aruch HaShabbos, Chazal are going to prohibit these activities that are lacking in Malachas Machshavas. They are going to prohibit even a misasik on a derabanan level. And so if the whole kehillah goes and carries on Shabbos, although midaraisa, maybe they're not doing anything wrong, midrabanan, they are doing something wrong. And so therefore, we do need to clap on the bima and tell the whole kehillah that they are, that the Erev is down. And this is how the Aruch HaShabbos paskins. He says that's the minhag to announce that the Erev is down. Okay, let's stop for questions and then we'll make one or two more nakudas. Yeah.
Okay, using that logic, then you really do come on to the issue of preventing people from ignoring it and giving up. But right now, if everyone does it, there'll be, you know, it's a derabanan on the shogi. But if you then go and tell it, then inevitably there are gonna be people who are gonna do a derabanan.
Yonah is asking that. If we do, you know, according to the second argument, it's a really weak prohibition. First of all, it's in a carmelist, so it's the rabbanon in the first place. And second of all, it's a shogeg. We're talking about an iser the rabbanon here, so it's a very weak iser. Maybe that should outweigh the concern that if we do announce it, and there are a few people who are not going to listen to us, that it's a more severe prohibition. So that's a reasonable point. But the Aruch HaShabbos, that's the paskin, and that's the minhag to make the announcement. Yeah.
So a karmelist, you'd actually need to figure out other than the fact that it's a karmelist. That's so thin. And what's the, you can use the right karmelist itself for other things where it's a karmelist.
So Penny's making an argument that our whole discussion about Malachas Hotzah shouldn't carry over to other areas of Hilchos Shabbos. That's a very reasonable point, but it's we're going to confuse everyone if we try to answer that question. So very good point. Well taken. Fine. Okay, yeah, Eitan.
Is there a difference between
this case and Mekalkel? Okay, so Eitan is asking, is there a difference between this case and Mekalkel? So certainly in a general sense, they're all different forms of lacking in Malachas Machshavos. If you want to start making distinctions, so maybe there's room to make distinctions, but it's certainly reasonable to take an approach, a broad approach, that they're all manifestations of one general overarching principle. Okay. Now this issue, this whole second nafka mina, has another interesting application, which could come up once in a while. And that is like this. Let's say you have the following situation. Person gets appointed to become the Rav of a community. He gets the appointment, he passes the Prabha, and they appoint him as the Rav. First week on the scene, he realizes that the Erev is not good. So now we have an issue here. He has a whole community under his disposal right now, which in 5 days is about to carry in an area, you know, they're all gonna violate this issue of carrying on Shabbos. So does he have to make a fuss about the Erev? They're now under his control. You know, he's the Baal Dover here. He's the Mor D'Asra. Does he have to make a fuss? Now, professionally speaking, I think we all appreciate that it's not a good idea. The first week in the post, when they've been relying on this Erev for years, you know, and their parents and everyone's been relying on for years from the previous Rav. So if you get up the first week in the post, I don't know how long his contract was for, but it's not going to be renewed. So the question is, what should this person do? So there is an argument that could be made that maybe the Rav has some time. Why does he have some time? Because of the argument of Misasik. Now listen, this whole community thinks that the Erev is perfectly fine. The previous Rav, whatever the situation was, they think the Erev is up right now. They're all going to carry on Shabbos, but they think they're not doing an act of carrying. So maybe he has the right to suppress his knowledge that the Erev is problematic because any Avera that they're doing is the Misasik. And assuming like Rav Kiveger, that it's not a Maisa Avera, and assuming like the Rav Shlomo Zalman approach that there's no issue there, that there's nothing wrong, so he has there's no reason why he should have to announce it. He could suppress his knowledge, and at some point in the future, when it's appropriate, he can make the proper, you know, fixing of the Erev. So that's just another interesting application of the second nafka mina. Yeah, Penny. So Penny's asking, since he knows that the Erev is no good, he certainly cannot carry it, 100%. So people are going to look for him to not carry. He'll probably tell them, I don't rely on the Erevs in general. That's probably what he'll say. They have the Thursday night rabbinic training in Chabur. So tonight was Erevin, you know? We'll do Masada Kedusha next week. Fine. So we're just about done. I just want to summarize and then discuss this, point out one more interesting psak halacha. So just to sum up, today we began with our kickoff. We're discussing the principle of Malachas Machshavos. We have this general overarching principle that we're going to have a whole series of klolim, but a lot of them are rooted back in this general need. You need to do malach in a professional way. If it's not professional, then it's not going to be chayiv. We declared a chakira. How fundamental is this need for malachas machshavis? If you don't have malachas machshavis, is it a zero? Or is it still an aveira? You need tshuva, just this doesn't have all the repercussions of a full-fledged aveira. We had two nafkaminas. The first nafkamina was the issue of kimlai b'derabi b'nei, that if you do a chil Shabbos in a manner that's lacking malachas machshavis, you knock your friend's laptop off the table, so the chil Shabbos of Soser is lacking malachas machshavis, will we pate you from paying him back for that laptop for burning down the field? Machlokas Rashi Tosis came down to this chakira. The second nafkamina was the issue of hilchas erevin. Do you need to prevent someone else from doing a misasek on Shabbos? I know someone else is about to do an aveira. He's going to carry you with the erev being down. Do I need to prevent him from carrying when the erev is down? Is he doing a maisa aveira? It's lacking malachas machshavis. Is that a maisa aveira or is it a zero? I just want to end with one more psak halacha that is not related at all to anything we discussed tonight, but it's a fascinating application of kimla b'derabi minei. It's another angle at how a real gaon can see a case that can happen commonly and apply a nashon zik and halacha to, you know, in a very interesting manner. The Chashuki Chemed brings down the following incident in Eretz Yisrael. He says that there was once a bus driver that was driving in Eretz Yisrael, and he was talking on the phone while he was driving. And because of the fact that he was not concentrating so much, so he veers off the road, he smashes into a building and damages the building. So the question becomes, is he accountable? He's taken a Beis Din. Is he accountable for the damage? So, of course he's accountable. He just did a Maisa Hazek. He just damaged the building. Of course he's accountable. Says Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein that Rav Yashuv gave the following psak. Rav Yashuv said that there's a halacha in Sanhedrin, another application of Kimlei, which is the din of Rodev. If Reuven is chasing Shimon to kill him, so the din is that Reuven is allowed to be killed. You can kill Reuven to stop him from killing Shimon. Now, the halacha is that since the Rodev is subject to a Chiyav Misa, because he could be killed, if he causes damage, he's potter based on Kimle. Since the whole essence of a Rodev is Chiyav Misa, he's subject to this Chiyav Misa, any damage that he causes is going to be potter. Says Rav Yashu that if you have a bus driver, and they go pretty fast, speeding down Eretz Yisrael on the phone, and he veers off, he's not concentrating, he is a Rodev. He can kill anybody, and he's considered to be a Rodev. And so therefore, he's potter for the damage because a rodev is potter for causing damage. So it's an unbelievable psak halach, another application of the principle of kimlei. It's not Hilchos Shabbos, but it's just unbelievable how you could take a sugya that seems not relevant and apply it to a common day case. That was the godless of Rav Yashuv. So thank you very much for joining us. Shkoyach to everybody. Good to see everybody. And Mr. Shem will continue next week. Yeah. Have a good day.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too, Mr. Cohn.